and it's under my consent. I'm being recorded.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Today, on Far Betterment, we're joined by Jason Long, a mutual friend of other friends. And we all know each other, so it's a mutual. It's a mutual knowing. Jason Long for Far Betterment. Jason.
What's up?
How's it going, man?
Good, man. You?
Good, good. It's been a long time.
Yeah. It's been, I don't know how many, like 8 years?
It's been a long time. A real long time.
Longer than that, probably. Are you recording right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, you're on the spot.
Oh. Yeah, how's it going, buddy? How's North Carolina?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's grown on me. Really hated it at first.
Mm-hmm.
Regretted that, everything.
That's kind of... Yeah, that's normally how it is when you move to a new state. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good though now. How's Denver treating you?
It's good. I like it. We've been getting a shit ton of snow. It's been cold as shit. I'm over it. I'm over winter. But besides that, it's good.
Yeah, I can't believe that winter's lasted this long for you guys. It seems like it's been cold every day.
Yeah, well, it kind of came late because we didn't get much in the beginning, and it kind of just hit us within this last month, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yep.
I hate it.
Yeah, that really sucks.
Yep.
So you nervous?
What's new? Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, don't be, man. We're just going to catch up.
I'm being recorded.
It's been a while. You're being recorded, yep. but you know you're being recorded, so that's the... That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
You're in control of all the things.
It's under
you say.
My consent. Yeah, and it's under my consent. I'm being recorded.
There you go. Exactly. Just so everyone knows. So you've listened to the Santos one, I'm guessing, and the Ton one, right?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
I haven't listened to it yet. Yeah, I feel bad. I should.
Oh, don't, man.
Well, I haven't listened to it yet.
No, don't even feel bad at all. I'm just glad you want to be on. I think that's awesome.
I don't know if I want to hear them talk, you know? they're my friends. Yeah.
No, I hear you. Well, catch me up, man. What's been going on with you?
Not much. Since the last time I saw you. Yeah, you moved away,
mm-hmm.
and then I got married, and then I'm divorced now for about like almost 4 years.
Okay,
and I have a 6-year-old daughter. She'll be 7 here in July coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, and then yeah.
I think I
just that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no! Just that went through the divorce, and then just. And then I went, kind of did a career change for a bit. And then right now I'm working at a big brewery.
Oh, nice.
And making better money and kind of more content with life now. And, doing better in life, I'll say. A little bit late, better than ever.
No, I don't, I don't really think it's ever too late, man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how old are you now?
I just turned 31.
Okay.
So I mean, 21.
21. Yeah. I'm 23. Yeah. But that's, I guess I just don't think it's ever too late because I feel like everybody kind of lives life at their own pace and some people kind of tend to rush it and never really figure out what they want. And some people take their time. Mm-hmm. And end up doing exactly what they want or being a lot happier.
I agree.
If you really think about it, I mean, you're 31. Life expectancy is, you know, late 70s, early 80s. So you still got plenty of time left to do whatever.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, everyone lives their life a little different. You know, some people, you know, they, like, I enjoyed my life at an earlier age.
Yeah.
Life experiences. And then, you know, I'm still kind of young. And then now I'm doing better in life. So
yeah,
it's good. I just, you know, I partied back then and, you know, got into with Santos, you know, into the car game and stuff, the car scene. And, you know, just, but, you know, I just played a lot more when I was younger. And then as I got older, I just wanted to better my life and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, and that's how we met, was through Santos.
Yeah.
I think he brought you over to my house, actually.
Yeah, the house in Westminster.
Yeah, yeah.
Right by Kenny.
Yep, that's
Kenny's
right.
Parents' house.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we used to live right down the street from him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's how we met, and we kind of hung out a few times and got along real well.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I'm kind of picky, like, about people. And so for me to, like, click with someone that quick, like, I felt me and you got along real well, like, really fast.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So,
that's good. Yeah, yeah. I feel the same way, you know, but, you know, normally, you know, I try to be cool with everybody. And then if, yeah, see how they are. If not, then, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, we got a lot from the first time we met.
Yeah, for sure.
We all just, you know, joke around and talk some stupid shit. But
pick on Santos, you know.
Pick on Santos, make fun of his big eyes.
Yeah.
his big old goldfish eyes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I just got back from San Diego. Me and Tom, we went down to visit Santos on just on the 9th of this month.
Yeah, how was that?
Just for the weekend.
For, Tom's birthday.
Fun. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Haven't seen Santos in a while. So visit him. He showed us around San Diego.
Had you ever been out there before?
I've been out there once, but I didn't explore as much as I did. And this time was actually great because we hung out at the beach, you know, for a couple of days, ate a lot of great food, then kind of went bar hopping, you know, just for Tom's birthday.
Oh, nice.
See how it is down there. Yeah, it was fun. Drank like a champ because coming from higher elevation.
Yeah.
Yeah, drank like a champ.
Oh, I bet.
So.
So I think I left like either, let's see, when was your daughter born?
2012.
Okay. So I left just a year after that. I don't think I saw her maybe one time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of her on Facebook and stuff. So you had your child right like a couple years after I had mine. What was that like? How life-changing was that?
It was definitely life-changing. Yeah. I had a, you know, she wasn't, it obviously wasn't planned.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I hear you.
You know, yeah, so, you know, yeah, I had to mature real quick and, you know, did what I had to do. You know, just, you know, worked every day and come home, take care of her.
Sure.
Yeah, and then, you know, to give her mom a break, stuff like that. But, you know, definitely get a different perspective in life. And, you know, your kid is your first priority, and it's a mini version of you. So, you know, you've got to do whatever it takes and, you know, take care of your kid. Yeah, it definitely matured me a lot. And, you know, I stopped going out for a while and just, you know, just worked all the damn time and sort of take care of life, you know?
Yeah, of course. Was that a hard transition for you, or did you find it pretty easy?
I think it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like, I was pretty good with kids before from like my nieces and nephews. So I kind of knew what to expect and how it, you know, how it goes. And I knew how to change a diaper right away.
Yeah.
All the training I had, you know, but yeah, it was just different too. Cause it's amazing. Like this time it's actually my kid.
Yeah.
But you know, even though it wasn't planned, but you're still super happy. And then, you know, you're excited, you know, it's your own kid and, you know, you got a healthy kid.
Did you always want kids or just?
Yeah. I always thought of having kids.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I want more now, but you know, I got to find someone to impregnate.
that always helps.
Yeah. I probably want like one or two more kids.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Got to catch up to you. You got three boys, right?
Two boys and a girl. Yeah. It's,
two boys and a girl. Oh shit.
Yeah. Just, my daughter was born last July, July 28th. Not last July. Sorry.
Awesome.
The previous. So she's about to be two.
Okay. July 28th.
Girls are different.
My daughter's
man.
Birthday is July 23rd.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay. So really close.
Yeah.
She's going to be seven.
Yeah.
You said.
5 days apart. Yep. She'll be seven though.
Man. How's that? What's seven good. Like with a little girl?
It's good. She's a good kid.
Yeah.
You know, as a compared from when they're a baby and a toddler right now, seven, they're kind of on their own.
Okay.
You know, they're like a mini adult kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can take care of themselves. It's definitely a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's an awesome kid. She's in, she does ballet on Saturdays and then she goes to Catholic school and she's in the Girl Scouts now.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah. She sold a bunch of cookies.
Oh, I bet she killed it out there with as many friends as you've got.
Yeah. She's a number one seller in troop.
Good for her.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Killing it.
Dude, that's awesome. I always kind of wonder how that's going to be like, you know, with activities and stuff. Because our other two, my middle one is just going to be three here in a couple weeks. And then he was born on Leap Day, actually. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're going to celebrate here on the 1st. And then our oldest, you know, he just got into sports a couple of years ago and he's been playing soccer and now he does dance and stuff. He does like hip hop dance.
Awesome. How old is the oldest?
He's eight. He just turned eight in September. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So right around your daughter's age.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so it's different with boys. Like they're, mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I find my daughter is really, she's really picky. She's really demanding. The boys never threw temper tantrums and she does. Like she'll like get on the floor and just kick and scream. It's the craziest thing. I don't know where she learned that from.
It's gotta be from either you or Robin.
I guess if anybody, it'd be from me probably. I'm probably the one on the floor kicking and screaming, but yeah, it's pretty different. Do you want boys or you want another girl?
Whichever.
Yeah.
You know, just long as a healthy kid. But
yeah.
A boy, one boy, one girl, one boy, that'd be complete, you know, one of each.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But, you know, just long as the kid's healthy.
Yeah. I'm definitely glad we had both.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you can experience both. See the differences, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it really makes you think, like, as a parent, too, how you raise your boys and how you raise your daughter and teach them to be respectful and stuff. So it really makes you be aware of that. God, man. So you said, I mean, I don't want to bring up uncomfortable stuff, but, you know, you said you and your well, I guess ex-wife now, got divorced. When did that happen? I know you guys were...
It happened, I think, almost about going on 4 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, we were together for about like 5 years, and then yeah. Let me think. Yeah, it sounds about right.
Okay.
Going on 4 years.
Was that?
Yeah, it's at first it was hard, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Divorce sucks, and
sure.
You know, yeah, basically she just had a change of heart, left me for another dude, and I kind of went through a mild depression during like at least the first year of it. You know, just you as a man, you know, you try to do everything for your family.
Yeah.
You know, keep the wife happy, do everything you can for your family. And then, you know, just at the end, you know, she wasn't happy, just kind of basically left me for another guy. So it got me doing a lot of thinking and feeling kind of worthless as a man, and you know, I went through, like I said, a mild depression, and it was hard because I don't open up to people or tell anybody what I'm feeling or going through, and no one can tell. I would say that I was, you know, bummed out or depressed about it because I was still always talking and kind of laugh and smile all the time, like you didn't know. You couldn't tell. You just think I pretty much got over it, you know. But yeah. I kind of just got over it myself. Got through it. Things like that. But yeah, then. But right now, I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you think?
Yeah, but like during that time, too. Like while I was at the tire, I worked at Discount Tire for like 4 years. And okay. That job's a stressful job, really stressful sales.
Yeah.
Sales, and, you know, sucks. I was going through my divorce that time too. So every day, just like you get angry customers yelling at you and you're going through your own life problems. Then, you know, it just drove you nuts every day too. And then, you know, and then I decided to quit that job and just take a risk and apply that Coors Brewery, and you know, I started off at a lower pay than what I made at the tire shop, but I knew in the long run, you know, if I work my butt off, I'll work my way up and make more money, and yeah, then eventually that happened, and you know, took the career change and doing good now. Now I make more money, I can provide my daughter, all that stuff.
What was that like for your daughter and having to tell her that and stuff?
She was kind of young, so yeah. She didn't really understand the situation.
Yeah.
She was like about 2 or 3. Yeah, 2 or 3 years old. Yeah. So she was still young. She didn't know what's going on, but yeah, I bet you it's hard though. Hard on her. That was my main concern. I felt bad for her, just you know, because she won't see her parents together.
Yeah,
or living together. You know.
Yeah, I mean that's got to be tough for everybody. I mean, the parents too, because you don't get to see your kid every day and stuff. That's not easy, and.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying you went through a mild depression. I mean, what was that like? Did you, what got you out of it?
I don't know what really got me out of it. I don't know. I just kind of did my own thing, and you know, cause I was obviously into cars.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just worked on cars a lot, fixed up my cars. That kind of got me not thinking about it. And then, you know, playing video games and stuff.
So just staying busy.
And then eventually when life kind of got better with me, with my new job and everything, I'm more content with life. kind of just snapped out of it. It's kind of weird. Or it's kind of hard to say that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how I got over it, but it just happened, I guess.
No, I think staying busy and time really, really helps a lot. And then finding, you know, like purpose really makes a difference too. You know, it's especially, you know, not talking about it, man. Like that's got to be tough. Why do you think? Why do you think you didn't want to talk about it?
Oh no, I'm just not that kind of person that opens up and pours out my problems to somebody. Yeah. You know, I didn't reach out to anybody, but I just kind of bottled it into myself. But no one could tell. I guess they can. I just kind of acted normal. But I guess when people like depression, you don't know what depression looks like because you can't tell from looking at a random person. But you don't know what anyone's going through. You know.
Yeah.
They could be really happy in front of you, but at home when they're by themselves, they start thinking, and it can drive you to that point.
Yeah. So, how did you? I know this is like completely off track, but how did you meet Santos and Ton?
That is a little off point. Let's see. Santos, I met Santos from Kenny.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We were, I believe so.
Okay.
Me and Kenny were into cars, and then I don't know how he met Santos, but we met one time at the Starbucks on Colorado Boulevard.
Okay.
We went to like this little car meet, you know, and then we kind of just hung out, and then I rode up with Kenny, and then I saw Santos and remember Chris?
Yeah,
he was there too in his white TSX at that time. Okay. Then we all started just hanging out at that car meet, I guess, and then we got close, and I remember we started our first car club or car crew, WGP, before Simply Fresh came about. We just became friends, and since then cars brought us together.
It's so funny because I like I've never really been into cars, but I all my friends love cars. So
are they all Asian? It's an Asian thing.
Maybe, man. Yeah. I don't know. We've got a lot of.
So I live that fast and furious lifestyle.
There you go. You all kind of do too. I mean, Santos is fixing up his S2000 right now. And what are you driving these days?
Funny story. I'm kind of out of the car scene. I just drive a truck now. Yeah,
oh, nice.
Got a Nissan. Yeah, kind of out of it. As I got older, you know how we fix up our cars, we lower it so much that it's a rough ride, and we have to dodge potholes and stuff.
Yep.
And objects on the road. Yeah, it just gets annoying. Kind of over that.
Oh, okay.
And plus, I like trucks. Me and Ton have a truck.
Oh, that's right.
We rather have big cars now.
Ton has that giant truck.
Yeah. Plus, it's more practical for Colorado.
Yeah, true. Yeah. A lot of snow and stuff. Well, like you said, right now, a ton of snow everywhere.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You need a four-wheel drive.
So after you and your wife got divorced and stuff, like, where'd you go from there? What'd you do?
Well, we were living together at first, I guess. Yeah. And then, of course, I had to move out. I found my own place.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, just got to yeah, that's what I did. I moved out right away and then just live their own life and decide to be good co-parents to my daughter, Ava.
Yeah.
Try to, you know, maintain mutual and civil. But overall, it's not about us anymore. It's about, you know, about our daughter and how we raise her.
I think that's very, it's crazy to me to hear people say that, which is weird already, that I think it's crazy. Because I think maybe it's just my friends or whatever, but everybody seems to be like really mature about that kind of stuff. Where my parents fought all the time, like all the time. I remember the police getting called and like being really scared when I was a kid. And
wow.
Oh yeah, like it was crazy volatile and not civil in any way.
Wow.
So it's always interesting.
Wait, were they divorced too, or?
Oh yeah, my mom and dad got divorced when I think I had to been like 10 months old when they weren't, like they stopped being wow. together. So okay. they'd been divorced like my whole life.
Dang.
Yeah. And well, feel free to ask me, whatever, man. This is two-way conversation, so don't feel like yeah. you're the only one on the spot here.
Okay.
But yeah, no, they've been divorced my whole life. My father just passed away November 28th.
Oh shit. I'm sorry to hear.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, we weren't like super close.
Yeah.
So he's a pretty heavy alcoholic.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and he could be a really like mean guy to people, especially when he was drinking. So yeah.
Well, he's an angry drunk. Yeah, that's common.
Yeah, well, sometimes very common. It's funny. Sometimes he was really angry, and sometimes he was really nice. So you kind of never knew which one you're gonna get. And
kind of like bipolar, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So yeah, that's that just happened in November. So.
Damn. Yeah, that sucks, man.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Have you ever dealt with? Like, have you ever had to take care of things after someone died?
No, not yet. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, but
it's pretty weird.
Yeah, but my parents are getting pretty old. They're about 70 right now. So,
oh wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you think about it, like 70s. Yeah, it's pretty old, and so they probably don't have much time to live, and you know, that time might come soon, and it's gonna suck. But
are you pretty close to your parents?
It's part of life. Yeah, we're pretty close. Yeah. Not like, you know, lovey dovey kind of. Yeah, my whole family's not like that. We're just we never hug each other. We never say, "Oh, I love you," you know, that kind of stuff. Okay. We didn't grow up with that. With the unconditional love, you know.
Are you like that with your daughter?
What was that? Are you like to my daughter? Yeah.
Do you think
I'm
that made you
give her that?
Yeah. Okay.
What I didn't grow up with, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, with being loved and held all the time and being supportive, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, my parents weren't really like that to us or me and my other five siblings.
God, I didn't even realize you had five siblings, man. It's like we don't know each other at all.
I know. We only met a couple of times back in the day.
I know, right?
Yeah, I got five other siblings. I'm the baby.
Are you really? Wow. How old are your brothers and sisters?
Yeah. They're all about 2 years apart. My oldest brother or oldest sibling, which is my brother, he's 46.
Okay.
About to be 47.
Wow.
Yeah, we got about a 16-year gap.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
How'd you like
then it? Then all my other siblings fall like 2 years after.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they weren't, your parents were never really like affectionate. And do you think that made you like more aware with your daughter? Like you really wanted to give her that, you were saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I never grew up with it. I never had it.
Did you want that? Like, did you miss that growing up?
Definitely. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I do see, like, as a kid, when you watch movies with like other families, you see how they get, you know,
yeah,
that support and love, kind of like being spoiled and babied, you know,
sure,
like kind of like, oh, not, my parents are not like that. But it's cool. It, as you grow up, you know, it makes you who you are.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. Like if I, for sure, if I was probably babied or I got that kind of love, I'll probably be like a snobby dude, you know, but you know, I don't know. I
don't
think it just makes you
know.
It could make you who you are and, or whatever.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting because my wife grew up the same way, and maybe because she's a woman or whatever, but she says she like really misses that and wish she had it. And so she's really like hyper vigilant about being like that for the kids. So she'll, you know, always tell them she loves them a lot and hug them and be like really,
yep,
really affectionate.
Yep. Yeah.
So I, and
yeah,
I,
it's good. It's good.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm gonna say it's good. It's good for the kid. Mm-hmm. Cause then they feel loved and whatnot.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, you don't feel that when you're at home, you just feel like you're just there and your parents are just, you know, they gave birth to you pretty much. That's it. But they'd never, they don't show you that love or affection. Yeah, that kind of sucks. But I guess that's how most Asian families are that came from the country. My parents were born. They were born in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
In the countryside, I guess that's how they were raised. Like,
okay,
they just don't have that. They just don't show that affection. So we never got the same shit.
That's interesting. Do you think it's because you grew up here maybe that you're like, wait a second, this isn't how what I want? Or do you think you just decided to break the cycle?
I think it's not what I wanted, I guess. You know, I do love my daughter and,
yeah,
you know, show her all the affection, and I try to, even like right now, I try to, you know, it sucks to spoil your kid, but I'm just trying to give her the life I never had, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, I never really went anywhere as a kid. My parents never took me anywhere. And then my daughter, she's been to like Disneyland multiple times, you know, so many different states. Definitely traveled a lot more than I ever had.
That's really cool.
So,
yeah, that's really cool. I don't think that's, it's hard for me like to say that kids can be spoiled. I know that sounds weird, but I consider a spoiled kid like a bratty kid, you know, like not polite and not, you know, where,
oh yeah, I agree.
Yeah. We're like buying them stuff and taking them places. Like, I don't consider that spoiled necessarily. I think that's just,
mm-hmm,
you know, you can teach your kid to have manners still.
Yep. Or sometimes you have to bribe them with like a toy or something they want for them to do something. But it's not, you're not just buying it for them because they're crying about
sure,
it,
yeah,
you know. But
yeah,
if they're kind of doing something for it, you know, then that teaches them some
like
responsibility, I guess.
Yeah, like earning
it. Yeah, pretty much earning it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't give her an allowance or anything, but
okay,
I take her to, you know, just go eat, go play, do whatever she wants, or if she wants something, you know, I think about it, or I tell her she has to, you know, listen to her mom more, listen to her dad more, be nicer, listen to everybody, you know, get good grades, and then, you know, buy her something nice.
Yeah.
Buy her an expensive toy. Like right now, she's into Barbies. So I have a bunch of Barbies laying all around my house.
That's awesome. It's funny, like, how cool that is, though, right? Like, you don't think you're going to care about that, and especially being a guy or whatever, but then you have a daughter, and you're like, ah, oh, this is great. Dolls everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I have Barbies in my car and, yeah, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny.
My,
yeah, man.
My little girl likes to, like, just destroy the hair. That's the first thing she does, is just, like, ruin all the hair on the doll. So all her dolls have...
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
Oh,
all,
wow.
All her dolls have dreadlocks and...
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, my daughter actually takes care of her dolls, and she role plays. Yeah, because she watches stuff on YouTube where people are playing with toys you know, kind of reenacting stuff, and she pretends. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's the YouTube generation. All my kids love YouTube.
Yep.
And they all watch this.
I don't care. Some people will talk shit about letting kids nowadays watch a lot of iPad or phone and YouTube, but they YouTube actually help kids learn a lot. Like, sometimes Ava was growing up, I'm like, how the hell will you know this or learn this kind of crap? And then you're like, oh shit, it's probably YouTube, whatever she's watching, you know?
I'm so glad you said that, because we get that all the time. People are like, do you really let them watch the iPad? Or like, you know, my oldest kid learned to spell by watching the iPad and like commenting on videos. He taught himself to spell
and
read. Like,
see?
My middle one learned all his colors and numbers by watching that. You know, like,
that's awesome, dude.
Like, it's just the way to learn now.
Yeah, it is. It's just, you know, it's not like how we grew up back then with Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, or textbooks, you know?
Right now, this new generation is the technology.
Yep.
You know, it's everything. Everything's online, and it's they're watching videos on YouTube, but it's also educational.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what they learn or what they pick up. You know.
Yeah. Well, like when I was a kid, I don't even remember. Watching that much educational television. I remember watching Power Rangers and like that didn't teach me anything, you know. My kids now are watching Blippi and Ryan Toys and
there's a lot more educational kids shows nowadays compared to when we grew up.
I agree.
Like, my daughter was into Yo Gabba Gabba when she was a kid. That was pretty educational, I guess. And then the Baby Einstein.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. But just every year is a different phase for a kid. So it's pretty awesome.
I bet you know all the songs and stuff then, huh?
Nope.
No? Oh, man, we're lucky.
I'm not going to say because I don't want to sing it.
We know them all, man. Everything, Little Einsteins, they get stuck in your head too for days.
Right now it's a Baby Shark.
Oh, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the new one now. You sing that all day.
Every day. I see parents singing that everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's fun.
It come with catchy beats and it just sticks in your head all day.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So what's been going on with you now, man? Where are you? You're at Coors now. What do you do there?
I'm actually a malting specialist. So, you know, the barley.
Yeah.
That comes in. We turn that into malt. So like it's the very first step of brewing.
Okay.
We turn that into malt by first we gotta we had to steep it in, and then we germinate it, and then we kiln it, and we send that off to the brewery side, and we don't see it from there. But it's a mini process and shit before it becomes beer. But we're the very first step.
Okay.
So which is cool. Yeah, I didn't know anything about beer until I worked there. Drank a lot of it.
Yeah,
that's it. But yeah, it's excuse me.
No, you're good, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great company to work for. Take care of you. I got great benefits. Get paid pretty well. So
you really enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy the people I work with, and my boss is pretty cool. He's a good dude. We have fun and just kind of dick around and do our job.
So
I do work weird schedules though.
Oh, you were saying you work night, right?
Yeah, I do 2 weeks of, I work 4/12s.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks of day shift, 2 weeks of night shift. Like it switches off every two weeks.
Oh man, that's gotta be hard.
Yeah, it's hard. You definitely don't get used to it. You just gotta do it. Yeah, whatever pays.
I guess, yeah.
Can't complain.
No, well, and if it helps if you like your job, because I've worked some jobs that I made lots of money and just absolutely hated.
Oh,
mm-hmm. So yeah, it helps if you like it.
Yeah, we all been there.
Yeah.
I love this job, man. This job's awesome.
Yeah.
And then the perks of working there. I get free beer to take home. I don't drink that much of it. I just hand them out normally, but
oh, do you?
It's awesome. Yeah.
You get like Rockies tickets and stuff?
What was that?
They give you like Rockies tickets and stuff at all?
Oh, not Rockies tickets. I'm not sure why, but we have a suite at the Pepsi Center.
Oh, so
we get free, Avalanche tickets or Nuggets tickets, or sometimes, whatever big show is at the Pepsi Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get tickets for it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely a great company. So I'm happy where I'm at. Most money I ever made, especially I had no further education, higher education.
Did you want to go to college, or did having a daughter kind of like prevent that, or you never really cared?
I did go to automotive college, and I did graduate there. I got my associate's degree.
Okay.
And then I was just in the auto field for a while, but I was never a school guy.
Yeah.
I hate sitting in classrooms and listening to people, Even in high school, I rarely showed up to high school. Always ditched, But
yeah. I hear you
there. Yeah. Never been a school guy. Yeah. So even right now, I don't know if I will ever go back.
Do you want your daughter to go?
Oh, yeah, of course. I want her to, go to school, of course, do what I never did.
Yeah.
She says she wants to be a doctor, so she knows.
Oh, yeah. She needs.
She knows it's hard work.
Yeah. It's tough for us. I don't know. It's hard for me to tell my kids like you have to go to school, or tell them don't worry about it. I guess I'm kind of like. I guess we're gonna let them decide. I guess and see what happens, but.
Yeah, that usually won't come till when they're in college.
Yeah.
Because at least, you got to graduate high school and then see where they want to, see what they want to do with their life after that. Go to college or take some time off, then go back. But no matter what, that's your kid. You have to support them, their decision no matter what. Can't force it on them,
So what's life like for you now, as far as, are you dating again? You out of that scene? What are you doing?
Not really dating at first. I was just talking to some people, but
yeah,
I'm not really in the market, you know, but whatever happens, happens. Right now I'm just focusing on my job, kind of enjoying my life more and spend as much time as I can with my kid, with the days I get her, stuff like that. Do my own thing. It's kind of more, a lot less stress when you're single, you know?
Oh God. Yeah. You're telling me, man.
And you save a lot of money.
Yeah. You really do.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, I like to ask this question because I always like to hear people's answers to this, but, what motivates you? What keeps you going every day? I think I know the answer, but
yeah, of course my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my motivation normally, from me doing a career change, you know, just trying to get a better job, higher paying job, and the benefits take care of me and her. That was my motivation, because then even when I went through my depression, like even that, I didn't really make as much money back then, mm-hmm. either, and it was pretty hard. And then all I thought was, or how I kind of got over it too, was like, hey, at least I have my daughter and I want to be there for her.
Yeah.
So that kind of motivated me, not me, out of my depression and stuff, I would say. I don't know, like, I just have to be there for my daughter. I want to be there. I guess that's probably my motivation.
Yeah. When you're going through depression, I don't want to like force you to be too like open about it, but at the same time, I know you mentioned, you know, maybe it'll help somebody, so I'll let you have the option, you know, to talk about it. But I guess kind of walk me through, like, what was that like for you? And I, you know, I'm asking as somebody who suffers from clinical depression myself.
It's kind of, yours is way, way serious. I don't really know if mine was real depression. I just kind of was bummed out every day, and I just kind of, you know, had no motivation to do anything because I felt like a piece of shit every day from you know, like, from the divorce and how it ended. But yeah, just, you know, if someone else is going through depression, you know, don't be afraid to reach out to other people, get help, or the doctors or whatever, because it can definitely, because you do think crazy stuff sometimes, and sometimes it can get the worst of you, and some people end their lives. For me, I never got to that point. It didn't get that crazy for me, but
yeah,
I just thought a lot of stupid shit. But yeah, just, it could be very dangerous. So if someone else is going through it, definitely reach out to somebody and get the help.
Did you ever reach out to anybody? Was that, I know you said that was like, you're very private. I'm the same way.
Yeah, I never reached out to anybody. I never really talked about it. I'll probably, even if someone asks, I just kind of short answer them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, like, I don't really tell other people my business.
Yeah.
But I also never tell people my problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty kind of an introvert when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's funny because, at least for myself, like, I found I always wanted to tell people, and I thought I was reaching out. But looking back, I never really was. I was kind of just hoping somebody would like see it on my face or whatever.
Oh man.
Which is kind of weird, you know? Did you ever feel like you wanted to reach out, or you just kind of were like, no, this is my burden to carry myself, and that's it?
I think I kind of did.
Yeah.
Just to see if anyone else or if someone else been through the same thing, and what I should do to, you know, snap out of it, or have them, or ask people to, you know, give me a more positive outlook on life and stuff. But yeah. I think I really wanted to, but I never did. And then, yeah, people didn't. I think some people try to reach out, but I just didn't say much, you know.
Yeah.
I just say, yeah, everything's good. I kind of just blow it off. And then, you know, I'm back to laughing and joking around. Like, you couldn't really tell anyways.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you hide it well enough, you know, nobody can ever. People going through that are the best at hiding, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like all the celebrities, man. They have all the money in the world, and looks like they're living a great life. No money's not a problem, but they go through some kind of weird depression. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, they got the worst of it, or they get the worst of it sometimes.
Yeah, it's
pretty- yeah, man. I didn't know you went through a clinical depression. I'm sorry to hear.
No, I mean,
everything okay with you?
Yeah, you know. It's funny, but I think this podcast and I started, this is going to sound so funny or so like, it's almost embarrassing now, but it's not at the same time. I don't know how to explain it, but I started a blog a couple years ago. I was just like really out of it, man. Like I didn't plan on being here anymore, and I was kind of done, and I had kind of made peace with, like, you know, doing it, just getting it over with. And I knew how my kids would feel, and I was just, I kind of just accepted everything. And so I started this blog, and just wrote every single day, almost, about
That's
what it
good.
Was like. And I started having people reach out to me. And I think that's what really helped, was when other people started to reach out and I saw that we could all lean on each other and that we weren't going through it by ourselves. That made a huge difference to me.
Yeah.
And it kind of gave me purpose. And then that's where I kind of got the idea for the podcast, because I realized, you know, all this time I was waiting for my friends to reach out to me. And I should have been the one reaching out too. You know, it's a two-way street, and I should have been making the effort also, even though it's hard. And when you're going through depression, you don't want to reach out to anybody. You kind of want to be left alone, and you've made up your mind and you know what you're going to do. And so
sometimes other people can't tell if you're going through
depression
or not, you know,
yeah.
So they don't know whether to reach out or not, because they don't know what you're going through. It might seem happy in their eyes, you know, but
yeah,
but that's cool, man. That blog, like that's almost kind of you venting out and talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, not to anyone specifically, but whoever reads it, you're kind of like venting out. That's awesome. I bet you that should have helped a lot.
Yeah. I definitely needed that for sure. So, yeah, I mean, it really gave me an excuse also to, talk to friends and reach out to people and, like, get reacquainted with everybody. And, you know, it's made me a lot closer with everybody, too.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So now I don't feel like I have to hide anymore. And, you know, like you were saying, you didn't talk to anybody. I felt like I needed to always put on, like, a happy face. And that gets exhausting. You know, I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
It gets tiring. Yeah,
it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Especially at work, too, when you have to deal with customer service time, you know. It's just like they ruin your day.
Yep.
And then you're going through your own problems. So at the same time, you got to be happy and take care of customers, you know. And it just sucks.
And you come home and you're
like you said, when you were going through it, you said you didn't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
That's dark, man. I'm glad you didn't go through that path. But yeah, but then you do think like, well, you are here for a purpose though. Your kids are going to
Yeah.
Your kids, you could ruin your kid's life if you're not here, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't go through it, man.
Well,
it'll be hard on your kids and your wife.
Yeah. I think your brain kind of just, when you're in that, you get to a point where you're just so tired. You know, you're so like physically exhausted from pretending all the time and thinking you're reaching out and nobody really notices, but it's kind of your fault because I don't want to say it's your fault, but you're really good at hiding things. And
Yeah.
So you're kind of hoping somebody will just like grab you and say, hey, it's going to be okay. And, but everybody already thinks it's okay because you're hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah,
you're just,
I think that's exactly how it was for me. Like, yeah. You know, my friends would say, hey, you're good. Everything good. I'm like, yeah, everything's good. But I never, you know, fully go into detail of anything. I just say, yeah, it's good. You know,
just
getting over whatever I'm going through. But, you know, they reach out, but mainly it's me kind of I distant myself.
Yeah.
Just kind of got through it on my own. Because I'm just, I hit it. I just told everyone, you know, it's good. Yeah, no problem.
Well, I think for me, I've been dealing with depression since I was like 11 or 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've always, you know, I was on medication when I was younger. Probably throughout my teens until I was like 16 or 17 and then kind of decided like this wasn't it, what I wanted, because it makes you feel kind of numb sometimes. It's different for everybody. Some people, those medications work really well. That wasn't the case for me. I had tried lots of medications, probably, I don't know, 20 or 30 different kinds, and it was just like not working.
And you're good now, right?
Yeah, and I think that is a huge thing though, is having purpose or having an outlet or somewhere to vent, or like just being honest about it was a big help.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now I find it easier to reach out to people because now I know what to look for and I know when it's coming on, and I can kind of say, hey, you know, even to my wife, because my wife probably really struggled with knowing how I felt. And I had expressed to her lots of times, like, I don't want to be here anymore. There's no point in being here anymore.
That's rough.
So she probably felt completely helpless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now I can recognize it and I can reach out to her and tell her, hey, this is happening again. I need to do something about it. So.
Well, that's good, man.
I guess you kind of learn, but, so I mean, had you ever dealt with any of that when you were younger, or is this like very something that's really new to you, and, or do you think it was like an isolated kind of incident?
I think it was kind of new to me.
Yeah.
Just, you know, especially because my divorce ended the way it is, or,
yeah,
you know, and it, yeah, because, you know, I got left for a new person. Like, that sucks, you know, makes you feel like you're a piece of shit, basically. But, yeah, I never went through depression as a kid or anything. I had pretty good childhood, I would say. I just, you know, I did a lot of stupid things when I was young, you know, just being a kid, but I never went through any kind of depression, even though my parents always was working and didn't really take care of us, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I mean,
I didn't feel that way growing up.
Yeah.
It just hit me more from my divorce.
Yeah. So you guys are good now. You said you guys are civil and.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
No, that's
yeah.
That's gotta be really stressful situation to be put in. And then to have to, you know, I know you take it really seriously, you know, being a dad. So you, like yep. you said, you put it all aside for her. And, I think you're a really brave person and a really strong dad, you know. I think that's, people take that stuff for granted. Yeah, man. No, I mean that. You know, people take that stuff for granted. Like, I know I'm very lucky to have my kids with me, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're a very strong person. So I just want you to know that.
You too, man. From you know, from what you were going through, and you didn't want to be in this world anymore, and you overcame that, man. You know, found your purpose. You know, your kids need you. You know, your wife needs you. So that's awesome, man.
I appreciate that. You know,
yeah.
I guess that, I just
you're way more braver. You're braver than I am, dude.
No, everyone's got their
yours is more serious, you know. But
no, you know, just, it depends on how you look at it, man. Everyone's got their own stuff that they're going through, you know. Mm-hmm. And some of us don't come out of it, so that's what I was scared of was. What if my kids go through it and they don't know they can talk about it? You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's what scares me. So.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, the depression is pretty common nowadays, man. Just people are not happy with their life or not content with how their life is going. 'Cause you have a shitty job, you're not making money, you know, that can get to you, or people feel lonely at times, that can get to them. And but there's also real big optimistic people, man, that have nothing but still so damn happy, which is awesome.
Yeah,
so it's kind of rare to see those. But
well, I think what people don't understand is that some people, you know, some people go through depression, it's a sad time, and they're able to pull themselves out of it. And then there are other people too, though, that have a chemical imbalance, and it's harder for them to pull themselves out of it. And sometimes they can't, and they need medication or therapy or, you know, some kind of help. Mm-hmm. And that stuff's hard to go find. It's hard to go seek that out. So.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But, well, where do you see yourself going from here, man? Where do you want to be in the next few years?
I don't know, man. I'm just, I never was like had a plan for my future. I just kind of took it how it came, you know?
I like that.
But yeah. I'm not like right now I landed, like I love my job. I like the company I work for, and they take great care of me, and it's pretty stress-free, and you know, I see myself being there for a while, especially since it takes care of you know, my financial needs, and it takes care of my daughter and I.
Yeah.
So with all the benefits and stuff, so I'll probably be there for a while, and you know, definitely I never traveled as much as I have when I was younger. So definitely from like now till when I'm older, I just want to do a lot more traveling.
What's your favorite place you've been to?
See the world a little more. Favorite place I've been?
Yeah.
Man, that's not much. I haven't gone anywhere. I don't know. Probably Vegas, I guess.
Oh, yeah? Now. Have you taken your little girl there?
Not yet.
No.
It's more Vegas is more like an adult playground.
Yeah. I went to Vegas when I was a kid.
I might take her someday. Yeah, I went when I was a kid too, but you know, everyone's gambling, and then they left me hanging out at a restaurant.
Oh yeah.
I'm not old enough.
I think, we went to Circus when I was a kid, and I think I just played in the arcade the whole time. My grandma and mom,
they
weren't gamblers though, so they didn't really gamble, I guess.
Okay. For Asians, it's different. The parents love to gamble.
Okay.
And they'll leave their kids somewhere so they can gamble.
Nice.
So, yeah, I was left at, I think it's probably Circus Arcade too for a bit.
Oh, nice.
But I never enjoyed the shows or anything. No, but it was funny. I just had to wait for them to, whenever they're done gambling. Okay, then we can leave.
Yeah.
Or chill in the hotel room until they're done gambling. Yep.
At least the hotels are nice.
What was that?
I said at least the hotels are nice.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well.
Yeah, Vegas is awesome. I think that's the best.
It's your favorite place?
I had the most fun there.
Yeah.
Well, so far, I never really been anywhere.
Yeah.
Trying to you know, travel not out of the country yet. Just kind of explore the states a little more.
Yeah.
So the major cities at least, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like what was it? 2 years last year or 2 years ago? We had a bachelor party for Kenny. We had a great time there in Vegas.
Oh, that was in Vegas. Okay.
Yeah, that was in Vegas. We had the suite at the MGM for like the weekend. It's a great time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we live like kings for a weekend, and then after that, we're back to the peasant life. But it's still good.
That was funny.
Back to reality.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, speaking of reality, what would you say your biggest fear is going forward? Or just in life in general? What's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear is, I don't know, I'm not really sure, just probably failing in life, you know, I guess. It's like, I'm not living up to my standard for my kid, my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be the best example and try to, you know, she could grow up and be, raise her to be the proper woman, I guess, lady. And, you know, that's my biggest fear is I can't do that. Or if I don't make it that long to see her grow up or something, you know.
Yeah.
That's probably my biggest fear. But
what do you, for everybody out there listening, what do you want them to know about you? What's important about you that you want them to know?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. Just, you know, I am who I am. I'm, you know, I might be, sometimes when people first meet me, I might look like an asshole because I'm quiet. But once you get to know me, man, we crack jokes all day. We have fun, bullshit. You know, and then, like, if you're my friend, like, I could be a very good friend to you. I'll help you with everything whenever you need help. You know, I give everyone my heart, man. I'm there for everybody. Help when I can. You know, it's the only thing I can offer. I can't help with money or anything, but I can always help with, you know, I could always be there for somebody, give them advice, help them physically, stuff like that. But then there's, you know, there's people that met me, I'm a little shy at first, and they think I'm an asshole because I don't talk, and I'm just, like, sitting there looking at them. But, you know, it's got to open up.
No, you're definitely a good person, man. I can...
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
try to be.
I can attest to that. You definitely... once you're out of your shell, you're very funny, smart dude. You know, good guy to talk to, loyal. Yeah, I can attest to all that.
Yep.
So,
yep. Thanks. Yep. Loyal to the soil.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah, loyal to the soil. All right. Yeah, man.
Well, I appreciate you being on, man. Thank you. You know, I think it's It's always really cool for me, and I say this like every time, but it's always really cool that people want to do this and people ask to be on and stuff. I never ever thought that that would happen. You know, I just was trying to talk to my friends and have an excuse to call them. So when when people like want to be on and are excited to be on, like that, that means the world to me. So, you know, thank you for that. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. You're welcome. I'm glad you asked me, because I don't know, man. Like, I've never been on a podcast before, so.
Me either.
Never been recorded while talking. That's cool, man. You asked me to come on, and yeah, I'll do it. Bullshit for a while.
Oh, dude, yeah, no, it was really good catching up, man. I appreciate it. And look, man, you know, if you ever need to reach out, you know, feel free. Don't hesitate to call, to whatever, man. Like, I know what that's like, so don't ever hesitate to reach out at all.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Yeah, same goes with you, man. If you ever need to talk, you know.
I appreciate
my ears are open.
I appreciate it, man.
Yep.
Well, I hope this brings our friendship to like the next level, even. You know, like I feel like there were some things we didn't know about each other, you know. So
Yeah. Well, we didn't hang out that much back then.
Yeah.
We just met a few times, but yeah, definitely not enough. And then you moved away.
Yep. Like almost right after I met you, I think.
Yeah, maybe someday we'll visit you or you come back, visit us.
Oh man, you're always welcome. And I'll be in Denver actually in May. So
in May, awesome.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll get
for,
together.
For what, just visiting?
Yeah, for 2-3 weeks. So for a little while.
Cool.
So
yeah, give us a call. Well, me and Tom will probably, you know, we'll go get lunch or something.
Yeah, dude, we should definitely do that. That sounds awesome. I would love to do that.
Hell yeah. All right. Cool, man.
Well, thanks again, dude. I already kept you for an hour, so I appreciate it.
All good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. Thank you.